the things that your businesses have taught you, what has motherhood taught you?
Motherhood. Well, a lot of things, but motherhood has, first and foremost, you know, I feel that motherhood has to be unconditional love, meaning unconditional love to me equals acceptance. So I have to accept the fact that each child is unique and they each have their own talents, gifts, and I have to accept it.
Okay, hi guys. Welcome back to another episode of Latina Lifestyle Legacy with Reyna and Ashley. This week's episode, it's just going to be me, Ashley, and I do have a special guest, which is my mom, Carla Gutierrez.
Hello, I am Ashley's mom, Carla Gutierrez. Thank you for having me here.
So before we get started with our conversation, we're going to go ahead and do what we normally do, our segment here, which is what we loved in our lesson for the week, but I'm going to do it with my mom. So I'll go ahead and go first. So what I loved about my week was that we got to celebrate Mother's Day yesterday. We got to go out, do bowling, and then my brothers got to play with the arcade. So that's what I loved about my week. What about you? What'd you love?
So that's what I was going to mention as well. This year I decided to do it a little different. Didn't want to be waiting 2 hours to be in a restaurant. So I decided that to do something that everyone was going to be happy about. So we decided to go celebrate at Round One, and it was a great plan.
Yeah, it was really fun. I think everybody had fun, and then we all did our own thing, but it was all together. So I think that was good. And then for my lesson, I would just say listen to my body, because I started my period this week, and I don't TMI, but my like I had really bad cramps and a really bad headache, so I just took it slow, didn't really take the time to work out because I was just like, all right, just take a break, it's okay. So but that was just my lesson, just kind of like listen to your body. If you need a break, take a break, but then get right back on it, you know. What about you? What's your lesson?
Balance. Always keep life balance, whether it's your professional, family, spiritual, love. Just keep a balance with everything. So
That's a good lesson, because sometimes people have a tough time like balancing things out and just learning to make time for everything, which is, my mom can give great advice on that, because we'll dive into that later. But so before we like get into the good stuff, I just want to ask, like, you can introduce yourself and then maybe let us know some of your hobbies that you have.
I am a proud mom of 4 beautiful children. Ashley, Milton, Ethan, and Joseph. Some of my hobbies consist of hiking, making balloon decorations, and just journaling, planning my finances, and using an agenda.
And as of lately, traveling.
Oh, yes. Can't forget that. Thanks, Miguel.
I know. So tell us a little bit about your trips. Like, where have you been? And what have your experiences with traveling been like?
Well, first of all, it's a very frustrating to plan a traveling trip, so last year we traveled to Cancun, Mexico in May of 2021. Then we went to several times to Vegas. I lost track how many times I went to Vegas.
Okay, I have a better question. What was your favorite place that you traveled to?
I would have to say maybe our last one that we travel to Quintana Roo in Mexico. What I liked about it was that the resort that we stayed at was in the middle of the jungle next to Xcaret. So we got to see wildlife. And we were at the, you know, at the beach, and it was just very relaxing. And we did some activities. We rented a car and we got to get to know the town. But I, for the most part, I just liked the whole relaxing part. You know, we got a massage, went to a little spa in there. So it was just very,
like a chill vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
But that's good. Cause I know there's sometimes like you travel and it's like, you're very busy, go, go, go. So it's like you're on vacation, but it doesn't feel like vacation, but then it's nice to have those like a staycation kind of like chill vibes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and tell us a little bit more about your balloon business. That way people, if they need your services, they can reach out to you, and then we can link your stuff in the show notes.
Okay, so a little bit about Carly's Balloon Decor. I started this business back in summer of 2008. Yeah, 2008. And I've been doing balloons ever since. Of course, with this... Once I started going back to work full time back in 2013, I kind of put it to the side and then picked it up again during COVID season in the year 2021, officially relaunched my business. And ever since, it's been nonstop. So thank you to everyone that has hired me. I really appreciate you guys. Shout out to everyone that has hired me and keeps me busy. I love doing it. I live for it. I will never say no to balloon decoration. I just enjoy it. So you guys can find me on Instagram at Carly's Balloon Decor. It's just one word. And you can see some of my work there. I have videos, but you guys can send me a picture of what you want and I can quote you and we could work something else. Prices vary depending on, what you want. But I also have my pricing list that it's accessible and I can email it to you guys or screenshot it and send it to you. So yes, feel free. I prefer like 3 to 4 weeks in advance, but I will also do,
she will accommodate.
I will accommodate for an extra fee.
Yeah. No, as you should, because it's your time, you know? And I think that's, one thing that has always kind of inspired me to be an entrepreneur was, cause I remember when I was younger, obviously I was like 9, I think, when my mom first started doing balloons. So I remember like I would go help her sometimes because I'm the oldest. And so yeah, just kind of like seeing you do your thing, and I don't know, like I thought it was cool because I can go with you, like,
yes,
it was very flexible. Like, you know, normally when people have jobs, it's like your kid can't come with you, obviously, because, you know, there's no like daycare or whatever, but but I thought that was cool of like me being able to go to work with you and kind of having that experience of like seeing something different versus like the typical 9 to 5 or whatever people would have. Mm-hmm. Because I feel that, because she did stop doing it for a while, but like, mm-hmm, when she made her comeback, I feel like
came back stronger.
Yeah, she did. No, she really did. And I feel like this was really her chance to like really give it the time that she wants. And like, she really, I feel like she's grown so much with it. Like she was already doing so good with it, but she really took her skills like to the next level. And so many people love, mm-hmm, having the decorations, you know, because it takes the party to like a next level, I feel, you know?
Yes.
So definitely. We're basically the party. We're in the party business. Okay. So I make the treat table and my mom just balloons. So hit us up. Yes. No, but I think that's really good. Like as a young mom, like what advice would you give to any young moms out there or like moms who want to start their business but maybe feel like they can't because they have kids? Like what advice would you give to them?
The advice that I will give them is Definitely to never give up. There are seasons in your life where you have to put things to the side and prioritize other things. So in my case, I had to balance out, from being a stay-at-home mom and doing balloons to working a 40-hour job and still be a mom and a wife. Mm-hmm. So I had to juggle those three. So I felt that, you know what, at that time, I had to prioritize my children because they were small and they needed me. It's like I said, it's just season. So if you're considering a business of whatever type that you're interested in, don't give up on your dreams. Just whatever free time you have, work on it, work towards it. And if you have little ones, once they grow up, there's always time. So don't think that, you're being left behind or you're missing out. Like, you are not missing out. And, like I said, it's season. So the season, when I came back, I came back way stronger, and I get booked left and right. And sometimes I'm like, as long as I get one booking a month, I'm good. But sometimes I have two or three events, a day, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's only one of me.
We always do that. We always overbook ourselves. Yes, and then we say we won't do it. And then on the weekends, we look at each other and we're like, we did it again. And we're both like all stressed out.
I can. Yes. Yeah. So best advice is you may put a pause to your dreams, but never give up. Mm-hmm. And there will come a time and a season for you to flourish and for you to blossom and for you to shine bright. So just give it time. Give it time. Like I said, it's never too late. It's never too early. It's just perfect timing. So
yeah. And this actually reminds me of this quote that I heard today. And it says, "I am where I am, and where I am is exactly where I'm supposed to be." So yes. I feel like, and it's true what you say, because I feel at that time, like, when you were first kind of kicking off your balloon business, like you said, like because we're a total of four. So my little brother, the two middle ones, she had them like basically back to back. So it's kind of like having twins. I feel like that was kind of a lot during that time if you were to do the balloons and that, but now that they're more independent and they basically like can do things on their own and for themselves, I feel like it makes it easier for you to like focus on your balloons and make that time for that. And so, I don't know, I just want to say like, I think that's really great that you got to do that, because I know that's something you're very passionate about. And,
yes, definitely.
You know, and I think because we're both kind of like, in a sense, like people pleasers. So that's kind of good, because then we love to see when people are like so happy with and, like their design and like, oh my God. So share with them about your last balloon that you did at the baby shower.
Oh yeah. So I did a setup, a balloon installation at this beautiful place. It's called Pinocchio's in like Pasadena. And I always like to go above and beyond, go the extra mile. So this particular customer, they had asked me, it was a lemon theme. So in those little baby boxes, the clear boxes, I fill them up with balloons. And I just added that extra little touch. And the customer had not asked me. It just dawned on me. I took it upon myself. I was led to do it. And I added a lemon inside each box. And as I was setting it up, the lady looks and she's like, Oh my God, you added a lemon inside. I was just like, I myself was like speechless, because I wanted that reaction. But when I got it, I wasn't sure how to react. And I'm just looking at her like speechless. And she's looking at me like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, oh no, like, no, I'm glad that you liked it. Like,
what you wanted. Yeah.
So it's like that aha moment. Like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, going above and beyond, making customer satisfaction to the next level. So just like those little details, people appreciate it. And so do I. But it's just taking it to the next level.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good. That's one thing my mom, like, she's very attention to detail and like perfectionist yes. vibes. So aside from like the things that your businesses have taught you, what has motherhood taught you?
Motherhood. Well, a lot of things, but motherhood has, first and foremost, you know, I feel that motherhood has to be unconditional love, meaning unconditional love to me equals acceptance. So I have to accept the fact that each child is unique and they each have their own talents, gifts, and I have to accept it. I can't be like, oh, why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you be like your brother? I have to see each person as an individual and see what are their gifts and talents. And my job as a parent is to help them develop their talents and gifts. First and foremost, that's what motherhood means to me, unconditional love. /acceptance. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I have to be an encourager, I have to be nurturing, I have to be a provider, I have to be a role model, I have to be a protector. And as a role model to my kids, I feel like I have to guide them, once again, accept them and love them. As a provider, I have to provide a safe home for them. Food brings everyone together.
It does. It really does.
Yes. If you want to have a meeting.
Yeah. And I think, well, just to quickly insert, I think one thing that kind of like, I feel nowadays isn't really normal, like to have a sit down dinner with your family and stuff. So that's one thing that we've been incorporating weekly is at least once a week, just to have a sit down dinner with like the whole family. And we just kind of like catch up, check in, which I think is really good. Just because especially, you know, my brothers are like teenagers, so they're kind of going through their phase and just kind of growing up and all that stuff. So I feel like it's really good to keep in touch with them and kind of like keep that connection. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. So I do love the part about incorporating family dinners because I have found that, you know, you do have to, kids are not just going to speak on their own. You have to build a relationship with them. So what I've noticed is you kind of have to bring out topics and not necessarily topics, but normally what I ask is like, tell me something good about your day and tell me something bad about your day or something that went well and something that went wrong. And, but instead of using that, like what went wrong as a negative, like, okay, you allow that child to be like, hey, my day went wrong because of this. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, it's okay. Like things are not going to be perfect, but what did you learn from it? And what would you do different? Mm-hmm. So you change that negative thing to a positive, and then that helps that child in the future. You kind of give them life skills. Like if something goes wrong, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're a grown up and you encounter some type of adversity, like you have to be a problem solver. So I think that I've liked that from the kids because it opens up, it could be anything because if you just say share something good and something bad, it applies to anything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I did great in my test or it was bad because my little friend or whatever the case is. But it's so broad that you can talk about anything. And we used to do this only like on birthdays, like, okay, or like special celebrations, like tell me something good about, you know, the birthday person or something bad.
Oh yeah. And we would say like, we would go around the table, like what we like and what we don't like about the person.
Yes. Yes.
Time to roast people, you know, just kidding.
Definitely. I know, I remember one time for Mother's Day many years ago, maybe 2013, 2014. I remember Ashley was like, I don't like that you're always happy. And I was like, how is that negative?
But okay, it's negative when you're trying to sleep and someone is like singing their heart out, being loud, banging all the cabinet doors because they're quote unquote happy, but you're just trying to sleep, you know. But I don't know, my mom's just always been the kind of person, like as soon as she gets out of bed, like she doesn't even need coffee. I think she drinks it just for like the taste, because like without coffee she just has so much energy, and I'm just like, how, girl? No, but I don't know, I think just before I would just be like, how, I don't know, maybe I was like amargada, so I was like, how can you always be in a good mood?
Yes.
And then, but now, like, I think my mindset has changed where now I'm just like, you know, we just saw this post this week, we sent it to each other, where it was like, you choose your joy and like you choose your happiness, you know, so it's up to you, like regardless of the situation you get to choose how you feel. So I think just like maybe what was going on at that time, I was kind of just like, how the heck can you still be happy? Because to me, it was hard to find things to be happy about. But, you know, that just goes on to like everything people tell you is a reflection of them. Because at that time, I probably wasn't happy with whatever was going on in my life. So I just projected it onto her, you know. But damn, I don't even remember I said that, but my bad, girl. She's like, I'll never forget.
I do.
She's like, you forgot that I didn't. So, well, that can also kind of lead into my next question, which is kind of like, we can talk about our relationship and maybe like how we've gotten to this point. I don't know, because I felt like when I was younger, we didn't really have the best relationship. Like, we didn't really get along that well. I don't know. I felt like we just didn't like each other.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was.
I don't know why. I don't know if it's because you were, well, my mom, I can tell, like, you had me at 18, so we were like kind of like sisters, but because just she was just so young. Well, both my parents. But go ahead, what were you gonna say?
Maybe we just wanted your dad's attention.
For real. I think because I was the only other girl, so then it was like, if I didn't have my dad's attention, exactly, we were competing for my dad's love. Like, who's he gonna give attention to? Me or her? No, yeah, and for some reason, like, I don't know, we wouldn't get along. Like, if my dad would tell me something, I would listen. But like, if it was my mom, I just wanted to be like a little rebel. I don't know why. And so then, but I feel, well, one thing for me, like, I know my dad always like kind of like forced us in a way to like, yes, have a good relationship, and we would both fight it because we didn't want to. Mm-hmm. But then I think another thing that also helped us was we did like a group with church. Yes. And it was led by this beautiful lady named Raylene, and we read this book, I forgot which book it was, but basically, mm-hmm, it was like mother-daughter and basically like healing our relationships, kind of like a therapy group, honestly. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like in junior high, and then it really kind of made me like change my perspective of my mom, because I feel like it made me see her in a different way. And then yeah, now like my mom's my best friend, I literally tell her everything.
Yes. I think that I guess going back a little bit, I felt like I wouldn't get the respect as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just very challenging to try to, you know, so I think I would just react.
Yeah.
And
we're both, you know, very reactive.
Something that I'm very thankful to Milton, her dad, is that he always said like, no, I don't care, you guys have to have a good relationship, you guys have to build a relationship. And I remember, I think one occasion, I don't know, I don't remember the context of the disagreement or whatever it was, but he's like, you need to say sorry to your daughter.
Remember, and I'm just, I'm like,
well, I don't remember, and I don't want to remember.
You so do remember. You're choosing not to remember. No. I remember clearly. I'll bring it up right now. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So he's like, you need to apologize to your daughter or say sorry to her. And I was like, fine, I'll apologize, but I'm not sorry. And then and he's like, that's not an apology. So we did have like a sisterhood type of relationship.
Also because my mom had, well, at the time, like she has three younger siblings. Well, all her siblings are younger because she's the oldest, but the two younger ones, they basically were like my siblings growing up. So like we were all kind of like siblings. And so it was just funny, like, I don't know. I guess like for myself, I didn't really know where the line was, like where it was like mom and, you know, because I would see other people like cross the line, but it's like, I guess the relationship is different. So I didn't really understand. But I think now I'm at a point where it's like, okay, no, like you can think what you think, but at the end of the day, like that's your mom, you have to respect her, you know? Which that's one thing that my dad has always taught us, is just like, yes, respect your mom. And so, but I think we're at a point now where like we kind of know, like, okay, like we still have our disagreements, but it's kind of just like, okay, one, we're like, we'll be able to apologize and like be mature about it. And then also just kind of like, okay, I was wrong. I think before we wouldn't want to admit we were wrong.
I think we're too prideful.
Yeah. So one, like, I think our ego was just really big. Yes. Your ego is not your amigo. And we saw that yesterday bowling. Or what is it? What is it? Is that something like that? It's something like that. But yeah, so honestly, I think it takes two people to make a relationship work, whether it's like mother, daughter, a romantic relationship, a friendship, it takes two people. So I think it's just taken us both like work to get to where we're at, but I'm proud that we both chose to like work on our relationship and have a stronger bond, because I feel like now, like, I do have friends that I can go to, but to me, I'm like, I'd rather just go tell my mom, because I know my mom's gonna kind of come from a place where she's not gonna like sugarcoat it. She's gonna keep it real with me, but also like let me, like, she's gonna be honest with me, basically, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, even though sometimes I don't want to hear it, it's just like, okay, but it's the truth type of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. What do you always say? You say like, if it bothers you, then, oh, you're like, get mad but fix it or something like that.
Oh, I say, what's in Spanish? This is from Pastor Julio. He said, enójate pero cambia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so yes, get mad, but change.
Mm-hmm.
So I do live by that. It's like something that really pisses you off, then you have to analyze it, like, wait, why did this thing bother me so much? What triggered it, or what are facts about what they said that bothered me? So and then just touching back on how we have this relationship, I feel that that, you know, just keeping it real, like, just keeping it real, being transparent, treating you like a human being, not like a child.
Yeah.
Just knowing that your opinion matters. Everybody has their own point of view. Everybody has their own opinion. I think that's very, you have to validate your child's opinion. That doesn't mean that doesn't mean like, oh my gosh, like I'm letting them have an opinion and I'm afraid because they're going to be right. No, you are still the parent. Nobody takes that place. But I feel that once you give your child a voice, they appreciate that and they feel valued and they feel important. And I just feel like it plays a big role, like just allowing them to express how they feel about something, and that their emotions are valid, however they feel. I cannot think for you. I cannot be like, well, you shouldn't have felt mad or sad over that. Like, no, I cannot interpret how you take things. You have your own feelings. You might be going through something, and something to me could be a joke.
Mm-hmm.
For you, it could be something very personal. So I have to respect that. And, you know, like I said, we didn't do this alone. We did have people guiding us. Like yeah. I said, church, we did take a class in church, and it was a book. We'll find it and link it. And it was just exercises, like getting to,
like, bonding exercises.
Yes, bonding exercises. There you go. So that helped us a lot. And I am actually very grateful that Ashley didn't have those rebel teenage years. She actually had them maybe when she was eight, nine, mm-hmm. like in 2008, 2009. That's when we moved to Ohio. And I remember those were like the toughest years for me to parent you. Mm-hmm. They were very challenging. And I feel that when we moved back to California and then we started attending Faith, and we took that class, it was probably 2009, 2010. I feel that really helped us. And mm-hmm. I feel like you are not like the typical teenager that lashes out and gives attitude and doing like teen years, like between 12 and 18. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 13. Preteen,
yeah.
so 13 and 18, during those years, it was just a piece of cake. It was just, so I've never understood that, but mm-hmm. I'm actually glad that I didn't have to deal with you with any teens that, like, you know, random things that I see nowadays with teenagers. Yeah. And you know, with your brothers too, I think it's somewhere like along fourth grade for whatever reason for my yeah. kids, which I prefer to deal with like challenges during fourth grade versus eighth, ninth, 10th, you know, high school years.
Yeah. And not only that, I feel like it's easier to maybe correct the behavior yes. at that age because they're so much younger. So it's kind of easier to mm-hmm. change that, but kind of touching on what you were saying about like keeping it real, I think that's what's always been like big for us, is just keeping yes. it real and being honest with each other. Like, it's like, would you rather me lie to you or would you rather me tell you the truth? Because if you're asking me something, it's because you want to know the truth. So, you know, and I think that's one thing, like my friends, they've always admired about our relationship, is like, I can tell you things, whether it's like, maybe you don't want to hear it, but it's kind of like, I'd rather you tell me and be honest with me than maybe find it from somebody else. Or, you know, cause that's one thing with me, like, I've just never really hid who I am, because I'm like, I am who I am. Like, I am who I am in front of my parents. I am who I am in front of my siblings, mm-hmm. my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the same person everywhere. And some people, it may be too much. Some people, who cares? But that's who I am, you know? And if that's too much for you, then that's on you. But like, the same way I'm with my friends is the same way I'm with my mom and everything. And so I think, like, if you're a mom listening to this, just really, like, consider, like, when your kids tell you stuff, how you react to it. Because let's say you're like, just be honest with me, you're not gonna get in trouble, and then you get them in trouble, mm-hmm. it's kind of like they're gonna learn to like not tell you things because they don't want to get in trouble. Versus, yes, like if they did something wrong, you can still make a lesson out of it, but it's like maybe changing your approach. Because one thing my mom always said is like, connection before correction. Because if you don't have that connection with your child, they're not really going to listen to you. So I feel like maybe that's also why, when I was younger, because I felt like when I was younger, I was more close to my dad. Mm-hmm. So then I didn't feel like we had that connection. So I was kind of like, who are you mm-hmm. to tell, mm-hmm. like, you know, even though you're my mom, yes, but it was kind of like, who are you to tell me what to do type of thing. But now obviously, like, I'm just like, well, that's my mom. Like, I have to respect her. And then honestly, like, I feel just really like, I feel like, because my parents did get a divorce, so like I felt like when you guys were going through the divorce, I kind of, it made you more human to me, like mm-hmm. It just made me realize like, oh, like we all go through stuff, you know. And like, I don't know, like I feel like it just made me kind of like respect you more in a sense, mm-hmm. Because kind of like you just kept your head down, you put in the work, and you basically like made it happen. To you went from like being a stay-at-home mom to basically being like the, like having like three jobs.
Super mom.
Yeah.
No, yeah, definitely. You know, going back to what you were saying, connection before correction, I learned this from one of my administrators at school, Miss Evans. She would always say connection before correction, and it's true. And I have seen it and I have experienced it. I'm the oldest sister of six, and I feel like sometimes with my youngest sister, it said, you know, I was just taking that role, like I'm the oldest and everybody needs to listen to me and what I say goes. Mm-hmm. And I try applying that to her and she's just looking at me like, who do you think you are? Like, you know, we're like, I don't know how many years apart. Like, she was born in, I was born in 1981. She was born in 2004. So there's a big age gap, you know? So I just try to come at her as in like, I am the oldest sister and therefore
you have to listen to me.
Yes, you need to listen to me. And, you know, we didn't, you know, I was already married and I had my own home and we lived miles away. So I didn't have that relationship with my little sister. And I just, when something happened and I would just try to correct her, she wouldn't welcome anything from me. And then I had to take a step back and I'm like, well, no duh, because we have no relationship because we didn't grow up together. I was already married doing my own life and they live 4 hours away from us up north in Northern California. So I was able to realize that. So I changed my approach. I changed my approach and I learned from it. I was like, you know, what's missing? And I realized, you know, and I feel that now we're both moms, there's a different connection. You know, but I don't come at her from that angle either.
I think maybe too, because she was basically like the age of my brother, so maybe you kind of saw her as like your kid and kind of like you have to listen to what I say.
That's true. Yeah,
and so true. She's kind of like, who are you? You're not my mom. Like, yes. Yeah. But as far as like being the oldest sibling, like what did that teach you growing up, or what did you learn?
So being the oldest sibling, responsibility, a lot of responsibility. I had to be a role model. I had to set the bar, and I feel that I still do that. You know, I don't know if it comes with just being the oldest child, but you know, I feel like, oh my gosh, I have to be first at this, first at that, first. And but more than anything, I just feel that being the oldest child is, I have to be very responsible. I have to be a role model. And you know, growing up in a Hispanic home, obviously, like you have to lead by example. Your parents are always like, you're the oldest, like you have to set the example. And you know, now I've learned it's like, actually not really, like
you set the example, these are your kids. And no, I'm just kidding.
But, no, you're, I don't, like, have to
actually.
So you know, but it's made me who I am. It's made me you know, the person that I am now. I'm just a goal getter.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna describe.
Let's just,
yeah,
like G-O-A-L, goal.
Goal getter. Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's one thing that you've always pushed yourself to do more. Next, like, level. For example, even with her balloons, like she was already good at it, but she just pushed herself, like, okay, how can I take this to the next level? How can I make this more advanced? How can I perfect this and all that stuff? So would you say you kind of learned that from being the oldest and just always kind of having to set that bar?
Yeah, like I said, I feel like I was always self-taught, because, you know, I was born in Mexico. So my parents had a language barrier coming.
Let us know where you're from. Where are you from?
Michoacán. Los Remedios, Michoacán. And Totolán, Michoacán. That's where my parents are from. And I was born over there as well. So shout out to everyone from Michoacán.
Hey. Los primos.
happened, but he, no, yeah, so I was born, you know, I came here at a very young age. So I was born in Mexico, raised in the US, and there was always a language barrier. And, you know, my parents had a limited education. So I kind of just had to learn everything on my own. And, and, you know, thankfully I was successful enough to do it. And I think at some point, like raising my youngest two, it was a little challenging because I was like, I'm used to my style, like, like
independent.
Yes. So my older two, you know, they're very like,
we're kind of like you, like very independent.
Yes. So it was a little challenging. So I had to relearn. I had to relearn to parent, and I had to be patient, and I had to, you know, this is when I learned like every child has a different learning style, and you can't apply like this one size fits all.
Yeah,
not at all. You, like I said, you have to distinguish what is their learning style and adapt to it. Because, you know, just because I learn on my own and then you and your brother learn on their own doesn't mean that everyone's going to learn on their own. Yeah. So it was, as a parent, I felt like, oh my gosh, like I have to relearn how to be a parent. But I thought the youngest two would be the easiest because like I already have experience. Yeah. So, you know, I love all of you guys. Each one of you has like unique gifts. Like every time I'm cleaning up my desk, I found little notes from Joseph, like, I love you, mom, I love you. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is like the sweetest thing ever. And then, you know, they're very lovely. He's a travieso,
so he has to say, I love you, so he can be on her good side, you know?
So, but each child has its own talents, and, you know, they're always making sure that I know that I'm being loved and, I guess you could say supported, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely a journey being a parent, you know? So it's been an amazing journey thus far.
I know, that's crazy. You've been a mom for 23 years. Oh my God.
Yep.
And everybody thinks she's my sister. So, cause she looks so young. So it's like, yeah, she just makes me say she is my sister. It's okay though, because she literally compasses my sister. So having four crazy kids, what has helped you stay grounded?
Oh yes, definitely. Obviously, it's gonna be a balance of faith and sanity. So for me, I like to be, I learned early on in life, you know, I go to Bible studies, and I learned from this lady, her name is Martha. And I remember she once said, like, your happiness does not depend on your husband, on your children, on your job, on your career, on anything, you know, people, place, or things. But my happiness or joy has to come from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And because, I guess sometimes, if you are this parent, please do not get offended. Like if you're just like, okay, my children are my everything, which they are, but you need to keep a balance between your spiritual life, your love life, your hobbies, your personal life, finances, relationships, professional life, you name it. That being said, the reason why I'm saying this is because if they were to take your career away, who are you? If your children leave to college, mm-hmm. and you're an empty nester, like a lot of parents go through this stage where their kids graduate high school and then they leave to college and they become empty nesters and they don't know what to do with themselves because all they did was ever parent. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they can't find themselves. So they're like, you know, they were used to always being needed and they were mm-hmm. always used to like just catering to their children, which like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. If you can do it, then awesome. But also balance it out because you need to find your own identity and you need to find who you are in God, not in anything like your career, your bank like account,
superficial things.
Yes, anything that's superficial. If they remove all of that, who is the real you? The real Carla. I'm sorry, Carly.
Hi, Carly. Her name is Carla. Okay.
For those confused, but she likes to be named Carla. She likes to be called Carly.
Hi, Carly.
So for me, that's very important. And what keeps me grounded and being a sane parent is my faith in the Lord. You know, I've gone through so many things in my last couple of decades or my last decade. There's been so many things, you know. But I feel that, you know, the only reason I'm still standing, the only reason I have a joy in my life, it's because God is in my life. And I put God first in everything, like whatever it is. I'm always like, okay, God, you go before me. Okay, God, you give me favor. Okay, God, like give me grace. Okay, God, have mercy. Okay, God, like whatever the case is, I'm always like, you know, God, even in the smallest things, like sometimes, you know, I love to journal and sometimes even when you're looking for parking, you're like,
my mom be laughing at me because I be losing my keys and I'm like, dear Lord, please help me find my keys. And she's like, está niño tres con sus llaves. But then I find them, so just pray to God.
Yes, I know. Sometimes, like, you know, we are a what would you say, this a household led by prayer. We're always, you know, we're always putting praying, God first. Yeah. We're always praying for everything and anything. So I feel that I pray for whatever things that are challenging with my kids. I always pray that God just keeps them safe, keeps them on the right path, protects them. And I always pray that God gives me wisdom because kids don't come with a manual. So each, like I said, I had to learn that each child has their own unique way. You know, like the five love languages, I need to learn which way my child's going to be, it's going to feel more loved by me. And I have to speak their love language. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just like I said, just building that connection, building relationships and just understanding and validating their feelings, their emotions. And as a parent, we kind of grow up wanting to have like little soldiers, you know, like
yes, men.
Yes. And I hate to break it to you, but not gonna happen, buddy. All in all, just, you know, faith. For me, it's faith.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think that's one thing that I've learned just by seeing both of my parents is they've always kept their faith in God and like just always like praying. The power of prayer is so real. Mm-hmm. Because I remember, I don't know if you probably do remember this, but I remember we would be sleeping sometimes and we would wake up to like my mom just like standing over us. And we're like, what are you doing? Because she would just be watching us. So I was like, Creeper, what are you doing? But she's like, I'm just praying over you and like blah, 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 and like things like that, you know? But Honestly, like, there's no better prayers than from your parents, because that's, I think, like, the purest form of prayer. Like, there's nobody that wants more for you than your parents. So yeah, honestly, like, yeah, I agree. Like, in anything and in everything, like, even when you're eating, like, even just saying like a little grace before you eat your food, you know, or just, I don't know, like, when you get somewhere safely, just anything, honestly, like, anything God brings your way, just always put him first, you know, and always give the glory to God, because without God, without these gifts, we wouldn't be where we are. And I think that's one thing that we've been very blessed. Like, even, yes, we all have our different talents, but they come from God, and we can find a way to serve God through our talents, you know? So I think that's one thing that I would say, like, it was good that we did kind of grow up in church, because it gave us the opportunity to really be grounded and stay connected with God. But before we close out, I would just want to say, or ask, what the best piece of business advice is that you've ever gotten.
The best piece of advice
for business wise.
I think that you know, listening to Abby's interview,
the Sage, Sage Social Eatery Cafe.
How she, you know, I come from a place that I am very giving. So my business is, to me, it's more like a ministry. Like, you know, I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it because it's a hobby of mine. And it's like my stress release. I release my stress through that. And, you know, even if you don't pay me, like, I would love to do your balloons. Yeah. However,
yeah,
this is not an invitation to call me and get free balloons.
Don't be like, hey, I currently heard you want to do some free ones because you were stressed.
So what I learned from her was, you know, I'm just going based on recent advice. It's like, your time is valuable. Therefore, you can't always be like giving stuff for free, or you can't, like, time is money.
Yeah.
So you have to put value in yourself, and you have to, you know, yes, you have to network, and yes, you have to sometimes do things for free because you need to build content for your page and all that stuff. But it just, she just touched on a very good point where, you know, you don't have to, right? You know, and I had already had this conversation a couple of months ago, I think back in March.
Yeah.
I remember having this conversation, and I think it was with you. I had a conversation saying, like, moving forward, I need to just, like, stop.
Do the ones you're getting paid for.
Yes. Like, I need to value myself and my work. And then just, I'm just going to be booking those balloon installations that are paid, instead of overwhelming myself. Like, oh my gosh, I have to juggle 2 or 3 installations, or one here, one there, and back to back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why am I being so stressed? But the thing is that the jobs that I get paid for stress me a little bit more than the ones that I offer to volunteer. It's like, because I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm not getting paid for this, so I would just do it however you I please. Want to.
Yeah, you have the creative freedom, I think.
There you go. Yeah, so that's it. I think that's my advice. Like, just know your worth and value your time, and time is money. And I think that's it.
That's it.
Is can I share a poem real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I wrote this poem back in 2015. And right now, when you were saying, like, you reminded me of when you were saying, like, every child has different gifts and talents, and then we all just come together beautifully. just reminded me of this poem, so I'm allowed to share it. So here it goes. It's called I Am. I am a beautiful quilt that has pain, hurt, joy, love, victories, trials, blessings, curses, all meant together for a purpose. A purpose that I don't understand. A purpose that only God knows. God says my timing is perfect, my child. But what about my time, my pain, my hurt? He responds, I will reward you, my child. Just trust me. Don't focus on your feelings. Focus on God. More God, less you. Although I am a beautiful quilt and I may not like all the patterns on the quilt, I must trust that God is mending all these patterns. And in the end, this quilt will be a beautiful masterpiece. Not only beautiful, but very unique, just as he intended, just as he planned, just as he wanted it. But Lord, help me be strong. Help me be at peace. Help me believe that one day this beautiful quilt will give warmth and comfort to others. I am a beautiful quilt, mend by my creator, my author, my savior. And all this pain, hurt, and sorrow will turn into joy. I am a beautiful quilt.
I'm going to cry. That's so beautiful. I'm going to cry now. Wow. Tearjerker over here.
This was not planned, guys.
It just came
tugged in my heart, and you know, I have it saved in my notes on my cell phone. So it's from October 18, 2015 at 9:44 a.m. I'm gonna screenshot it so y'all don't think I'm lying. It's funny because someone asked me this weekend, he's like, do you like quilts? And I'm like, not really, you know. And it made me think about
I am a quilt.
And you know, we don't have to be a fan of quilts, you know. It's kind of mm-hmm. like, no fans, but like old people like quilts. But I guess I'm getting old.
Yeah, I know, that's what he asked you. He was gonna get you a quilt. He's like, you like a quilt? I got one in my car, let me give you a quilt. Well, I just want to say thank you for sharing that poem. And also that I'm very proud of you for how far you've come emotionally, mentally, with your business, everything that you've done to grow, and just like all that you've taught us, and just like your resilience and
thank you
always being confident in God, and yeah, just like leading the way for us. I know you said you led the way for like your siblings, but also for us, I think it also pushes us to like do more and always yes. succeed and always be the best at everything, because we do believe that we are the best at everything, whether you tell us we are or not. You don't have to tell us, we believe it in our head, okay? We're delusional.
Yes, can I add something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So just before we close, I think when we went up north, maybe to visit my family, it was either March or November, I can't recall, but I remember I was sharing with you that our line of like this whole business minded person, it doesn't just come from me. Like, you know, I give a shout out to my mama,
the lineage, yeah,
to my mom, because, you know, growing up, she used to be a stay home mom, and she used to work from home, and she used to create these decorations. Like, she would add like lace to like mirrors and like stuff for the house. And you know, I was sharing with you, like, this goes way back. It's not just us. It goes back a few generations. Yeah. My grandma, my mom's mom, she also in Mexico, like, with whatever money my uncles would send her, she will buy shoes and she'll multiply that. Like, she'll sew shoes. And then my great grandma, which is my
mom's grandma,
You know, they also, like, I don't know how many generations yeah. goes back, but as far as I'm concerned, it's like,
pero las mujeres de Michoacán son trabajadoras, baby.
Yeah, so
you
get
your girl from Michoacán.
Yes.
No, yeah, definitely. I think
we love to cook.
Yeah, we. No, I'm just kidding. I like to bake. No, I'm just kidding. But no, yeah, I think that's one thing that you know, we've always just been very independent and yes. held our own. And I think that I'm very proud to come from a lineage of women who have made it happen. Even like as mothers, like I don't know, like I think they're just like some badass women in my life, like all the women in my life who are mothers and who just push for more, like they inspire me so much, and they just inspire me to like, oh shit, I gotta get my shit together as a mom. I'm not even a mom, but I'm over here thinking about getting my shit together as a mom, because
she helps raise my
my kids. Yeah, but all that to say, thank you, mom, for joining me on this episode and getting vulnerable and sharing basically like your story, your business, and everything. And before we go, I'm just going to say some quick reminders. So don't forget to leave a review if you like this episode. Let us know what you think. 5 stars only, please. Also, don't forget to follow the show. Follow our Instagram. Keep up with us. Everything will be linked in the show notes. My mom's balloon page will also be linked there. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Also submit your anonymous questions so we can answer them in our future episodes. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But I hope you guys have a great rest of your day or evening. And there's also a blog that my mom has. It's I'll also link it in the show notes. But what is the blog about?
So it's basically where I wrote this poem, and I've written other poems and poems that I sent to other women in my life, and basically my conversations with God. It's called iCarly81.wixsite.com. It's / MyCarly blog. We'll link it, but you'll find some of those poems that I just read to you guys. And it's basically encouraging to live your life to the fullest. Mm-hmm. And what God has done in my life, and the women that inspire me and stuff. So
yeah.
But also, before we go, I know we keep on saying this is the end, but you know,
if you're Mexican, you know how I'll be. You gotta say bye like 5 times.
You know you're Mexican if you say bye like 5 to 10 times.
It's been 30 minutes since you said bye.
I just want to give a shout out to Ashley. You know, she's an amazing, amazing, amazing person. Like, at her age, I would not even be thinking of doing half of the stuff she's doing. Shout out to Raina, you know, for being amazing too. Like, these two come together every week. You know, they make time for this. And you guys have brought like a lot of great people, and their interviews are so amazing. I'm like, damn, these girls are like those ladies in the newscast, like interviewing these people, you know?
Bienvenidos a Canal 5.
So I just want to, you know, I want to give a shout out to this generation. You guys are amazing. Thank you for always being my number one fan. Thank you for helping me with your brothers, the house, the chaos, and just for always hearing me out, even though she sometimes like, I have boundaries. I was like, what the hell? No, you do not have no boundaries for me.
I'm your mother boundaries.
But that's another episode. We'll talk about that episode if I'm invited back.
We'll see. We'll have to do a further review on how we feel about you as a guest. No, I'm just
kidding. El público lo pidió.
Yeah, I know, for real. If y'all want her back, let us know. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I think it was a really,
I know.
Just kidding. Yeah. No, but I think it was a really powerful episode. I know that it was a very powerful episode because we are both very powerful women, and our stories Amen. Are heard, and God will lead this to whoever needs to hear this.
Yes.
So thank you for being my mama. I love you.
Love you.
Bye, guys. Ahora sí. Now we go. For real, for real. Bye.